This morning, let's turn back to the Gospel of Matthew. That's where we've been the last 2 weeks, and we're going to go back there and actually conclude this little sermon series here this morning. Matthew chapter 7, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he says all these great things to the people who were there on the Mount that day listening. And I'm going to start at chapter number 7. I'm going to read three verses, 21 through 23. I read out of an NIV translation. If you don't have your Bibles, we have Pew Bibles there. I suggest that we all kind of read this together. Starting with verse number 21. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting with verse number 21. And these are the words of Jesus as he's speaking to the crowd there at the Sermon on the Mount. He says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Let's pray. Father, once again, as we conclude this short little series, speaking about these verses here, Father, I just pray, Lord, that those who are part of this many who think that they're going to make it, who really don't know you, Father, I'm praying that before they take their final breath on the face of this earth, they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, I really don't want anybody having to hear these words. But your son Jesus tells us that many will hear this. Well, Father, I am praying for those, and maybe some of those many can become some of the few. So that is my prayer here this morning. I also pray for what I'm about to say. I pray for the organization that I'm about to speak about. I pray for these individuals that they will see the true Jesus. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. We are in our third and final week, short series, on this sermon series that I've titled, "I Never Knew You." In the context of Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, it appears that there are many, many who are turned away from heaven, even though these many appear to be very much in tune with Jesus. So who are these many people? That's what we've been trying to define over the last couple weeks. And what could they possibly be doing wrong for Jesus to tell them when they enter eternity, "I never knew you"? Because on the outside, they look really good. They are prophesying. They are casting out demons. They are even performing miracles. And they're doing it, they say, all in the name of Jesus. On the outside, everything sure looks good. Who are these many? In the first week, we identified some of these many as pew warmers. The pew warmer is a person who attends church on a very regular basis. They understand church routine, and they do it very well. They are proud of their religious actions and how they contribute and serve their church very passionately. But they fail to know and to understand and to trust the saving gospel message of Jesus Christ. Is it because it was never preached? I don't know. Is it because it was preached and they didn't listen? I don't know. The pew warmer. Last week, we identified some of these many as those people who believe in Mormon theology. There are approximately 16 million people who are part of the Mormon church. They have great rules for living, such as no coffee, no caffeine, no alcohol, no smoking or tobacco products, no sex before marriage, no swearing or profanity. They must give 10% of their income to the church, and they must fast for 2 meals every month. They have strong leadership, strong finances, and very enthusiastic missionaries. They promote family values, and they condone good moral character. On the outside, the Mormon looks like a really great person. Unfortunately, as we talked about last week, the Mormons have the wrong God, and they have the wrong Jesus. Both the pew warmer and the Mormon look extremely religious on the outside. But without understanding and trusting the true gospel message of Jesus Christ, Jesus will say to them when they enter eternity, "I never knew you." Today, I want to cover another group of people who make up the many referred to in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. These many are the people who believe in and are part of this religious movement called the Jehovah Witnesses, the Jehovah Witness religion. Or as Pete Fitzgerald would say, "Oh, those pesky Jehovah Witnesses." I worked with a man at McClung's who is a very devoted Jehovah Witness, or a JW as we kind of shorten that title. He shared with me one day his story of how he grew up in the city of Chicago as a very confused Catholic. And then he saw the light when he learned about the Jehovah Witness religion. He will tell you that he is very proud now to be considered a Christian. But is a person who believes Jehovah Witness theology really a true Christian? Let's answer that this morning by looking at what they teach and what they believe. Said this last week in John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus says this in his high priestly prayer, quote, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent," end quote. In this verse, Jesus makes one thing perfectly clear. To have eternal life, one must know the one true God and the one true Jesus Christ. So the question now becomes this: do Jehovah Witnesses know the one true God and the one true Jesus Christ? The short answer is this: no, they do not. I said this last week, you are what you believe. So what do Jehovah Witnesses believe about God and about Jesus Christ? Remember, there is no eternal life for those who answer this question incorrectly. So let's look at a few facts about the Jehovah Witness organization and their beliefs and their teachings. Let's compare that against Christianity and we draw a conclusion. The Jehovah Witness movement began with a man named Charles Taze Russell, who lived from 1852 to 1916. As a teenager, he rejected two critical doctrines of the church. He rejected the doctrine of hell, and he rejected the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because of this, he distrusted all churches and all denominations. In 1870, at the age of 18, Russell began his own system of theology, focused primarily on the second coming of Jesus Christ. He founded an organization based on his beliefs, and he called this new organization the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Russell was never formally trained in any type of Christian theology. However, in 1879, Russell managed to launch a magazine that he called The Watchtower. And yes, this magazine is still alive and well today. Russell predicted that in the year 1914 would be the Battle of Armageddon. God would destroy all the present governments on this earth, establish his own kingdom, and the return of Jesus Christ. 1914, that prophecy did not happen. Russell died 2 years later in 1916. Well, this organization was taken over by a man named Joseph Rutherford in 1917. To make converts into this Jehovah Witness organization, Rutherford claimed that only 144,000 people were going to go to heaven, and that the new Armageddon date was now set for 1925. Well, that prophecy didn't happen either. We're still here, and Jesus has not yet returned. This became a problem in 1935, when more than 144,000 people became members of this organization. Now, what do you do? So Rutherford had to change his theology and said this, if anyone who became a Jehovah Witness before 1935 would go to heaven as the little flock, and anyone joining the organization after 1935 could look forward to living on earth in a new paradise as the great crowd after the millennium. So it depends on when you entered the organization where you would spend this eternity. In 1931, he officially changed the name of the organization to Jehovah's Witnesses. A new date for Armageddon and the return of Jesus was now set for 1975. That was a great year for me, 1975. It's even going to be a better year when Jesus does, in fact, return. Well, we all know that that prophecy didn't happen either. Around the year 1961, the Jehovah Witnesses came out with their own Bible translation, and it was called the New World Translation. If by some chance you have a New World Translation Bible at your home, feel free to dispose of it. This Bible translation and Jehovah Witness teaching denies the Trinity. They claim that believing in the Trinity is polytheism, which is a belief in many gods. Here's one example of one of their changes in their New World Translation Bible. In our Bibles, if we will look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it starts off by saying this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The New World Translation, as by the Jehovah Witnesses, says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They throw in that indefinite article, a, and God is now a little g, and the Word was a God. The Jehovah Witnesses claim that the addition of this indefinite article A is added to avoid the conclusion that Jesus is God. Because you see, to a Jehovah Witness, Jesus cannot be God, because there's only one God to the Jehovah Witness, and that is Jehovah God. So if they don't believe that he is God, who or what do the Jehovah Witnesses say that Jesus is? Here's an explanation from a book called So What's the Difference by the author Fritz Ridenour. And so I quote this from his book. And I quote, "The Jehovah Witnesses say that Jesus had been the archangel Michael in heaven before he came to earth. Michael supposedly gave up his godlike characteristics, leaving only his life force. Jehovah then placed the life force of Michael into the womb of the Virgin Mary so Jesus could be born a human being. While on earth, Jesus was a perfect man, but nothing more than that. After dying on the cross, his humanity was annihilated. I'll talk about that here in a second. Then he was raised as an immortal spirit who returned to heaven to become, once again, the archangel Michael. End quote. To sum that up, the Jehovah Witnesses say that Jesus is certainly not God. Jesus is not divine. They also claim that Jesus did not bodily rise from the grave, but only as a spirit who looked as if he were a body. The Jehovah Witnesses believe that the body and soul are one, and these both suffer annihilation at death. Now, what do I mean by annihilation? Annihilation means that you totally go out of existence. There is no afterlife of any sort. Once you die, that's all there is. So these both suffer annihilation at death. So God had to recreate the body of Jesus using the life pattern of Michael the Archangel to place into this newly created body that was in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Sounds a little convoluted there, doesn't it? At least to us Christians. They also claim that the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, as we Christians would say, they say that the Holy Spirit is an invisible force that Jehovah God uses to inspire his servants, who are only Jehovah Witnesses, to do his will. According to the Watchtower magazine, the Holy Spirit is like electricity, just a force, not the third person of the Trinity, as we believe. So, my conclusion is this. The Jehovah Witnesses, they have the wrong Jesus, and they have the wrong Holy Spirit. Also, they do not consider the cross a symbol of Christianity, because they claim the Bible indicates that Jesus did not die on a cross, but on a simple stake. I find that rather interesting because I find the word cross in my New Testament 46 times. It's kind of hard to argue that Jesus did not die on a cross. There are approximately 8.3 million people who are part of the Jehovah Witness Church, which is about half of what there are of Mormons. They are very diverse from an ethnic standpoint. 36% are white, 32% are Hispanic, and 27% are black. And the remaining 5% are another or a mixed race, which is something I meant to mention last week. Did you know that the Mormon Church only allowed blacks to be part of the Mormon Church in 1985. Thought I'd throw that in there. The Jehovah Witnesses do accept medical treatments, but they do not accept blood transfusions because they believe the Bible commands that we do not ingest blood. They do not believe in going to war or do not believe in getting involved in political movements. According to their own website, www.jw.org, they do not believe in hell. Now, here's a quote I took directly off of their website, what they say about hell. And I quote, "False religion teaches that the wicked world," excuse me, let me start that over. And I quote, "False religion teaches that the wicked will suffer in hellfire. Yet The Bible teaches that sin leads to death, Romans 6:23. Jehovah is a God of love. Would a loving God torment people forever? Of course not. In paradise, there will only be one religion, the one that Jehovah approves, Revelation 15:4. All religions based on Satan's lies will be gone, end quote. Well, if you read between the lines of what those pesky JWs are saying, they are saying that true Christianity, we are a false religion. They say that we will suffer annihilation. That means we will totally go out of existence at death. It makes one question, that how did people ever get saved before the existence of the Jehovah's Witness religion? Because my Bible clearly teaches in the book of Acts that thousands and thousands of people were getting saved at the teaching of the apostles. Conclusion. Will all Jehovah's Witnesses go to hell? If you believe Jehovah's Witness theology, yes, you will. And by the way, there is a hell. I am convinced that every person who believes Jehovah's Witness theology will hear these words of Jesus when they go into eternity. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And what makes it even more sad is that at that point, they will realize there is a hell. And it's not a great place to be. Jehovah's Witnesses are on a path of eternal destruction. We need to share the truth of the gospel message to them, because the truth matters. There will be no words more terrifying than for a person to enter eternity and to hear Jesus tell them, "I never knew you. Depart from me." At that point, there's no turning back, there's no making it right, and there is no purgatory. Do not believe Jehovah's Witness theology. As Jesus says, do the will of the Father, trust the good news gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very simple, because people like us can even understand the truth. Let's pray.